coming to you live from the LasVegasSun.com podcast studio, back in our natural habitat, Case Kiefer and Ray Brewer in front of microphones instead of in front of super athletic five-star recruits. We had year two of being the quote-unquote celebrity basketball coaches this weekend at Coronado High School for the Halloween Hoops against Findlay Prep. Didn't turn out so well. Lost by 42. Thought we did a little bit better than last year. We're going to talk about that and, of course, get to all the football you want. This is Prep Sports Now. To remind you, this podcast is brought to you by the Zero Teen Fatalities Program. Zero may not be a good number for your football team, but it's the only acceptable number when it comes to teen fatalities on Nevada's roads. Be a zero. Always buckle up. Watch out for pedestrians. And don't drive distracted. I know you weren't driving distracted, Ray, when you made the long trek to Overton for Moapa Valley, Desert Pines. We set the line at 14.5, and Moapa wins by 14. So you win. You had Desert Pines.
Missed extra point is swings the momentum in my favor.
Oh, wow. I have it, if not for that.
Yeah.
Oh, and to give you an update.
27-13 was the final.
Wow. Since we've just touching on this at the start of the podcast, I win the other one, you win this one. Lance Worthington over under 128.5 yards. Some disparity, though. Centennial's reporting he had 130, but just like a maybe sports book in town, we got to go by the official numbers. The official numbers is he only had 124 combined, so I narrowly win that one. That was some great numbers making by you on last week's podcast.
Great numbers. I think we've got a good sense at this time of the year what's going on, and shout out to Moapa Valley. They thoroughly handled Desert Pines. Only won by 14, but if you look at the total yardage, DP had about just 150 yards, and Moapa Valley did whatever they wanted to do, especially up front. Desert Pines is young on the line, and Moapa Valley pushed them around. In fact, Moapa Valley kind of ran the same plays over and over, just some running right through the line, and they staved a lot from their playbook in case they meet again in the playoffs. Moapa Valley, of course, they're up 14-0. They recover back-to-back. They recover an onside kick to open the game, a squib kick after they score first touchdown. They're up 14-0 before DP gets the ball, and DP goes three and out.
Three and out, and like I said, I thought Moapa was going to be able to take care of them, but honestly, maybe Desert Pines put up a did some positive things. Maybe put up a little more fight than I would have guessed.
Well, yeah, they fall behind 21-0, and then they make it 21-13 at the half. They had some good red zone defense, and their offense finally got moving. Iquan Corsi, the quarterback, is a very special athlete. He runs well. He throws well. In Desert Pines' defense, it was a very windy night, and it really altered their passing game. And they have a few players banged up. Malik Davis has got a torn meniscus. He's playing through that. And you could tell where Desert Pines on a non-windy day without those two onside kicks would have had a chance to be competitive. But on the flip side of that coin, Moapa Valley was very manila in what they did. They just jammed it right through the line, and they could have opened the playbook past page one and probably did a little more damage. Time of possession, yards disparity, all swings in Moapa Valley's favor. It's why they are the perennial powers.
For sure. As bad as Moapa Valley, as you're saying, kind of beat up on them, nothing compared to what we experienced against Findlay Prep, losing by 42. Of course, we usually kind of hold off the basketball talk on Prep Sports Now until after football December, but just a little taste now because we had a bunch of the better kids in town. No one from Gorman, who, of course, is going to be the big favorite to win the state championship again. All those guys were injured, but had a lot of other talent. And I guess we did okay in stretches, but for the most part, I don't know. I mean, we lost by, I think, 45 last year, 42 this year.
Yeah, so we're 3 points better. And this year's team, last year we had, you know, the Allen twins, Julian Jacobs, Zimmerman Jeter. This year we had Justin Burks, who had played before our game. He's going to Santa Barbara. We had Spencer Mathis from Valley, who's going to Northern Colorado. He had like 18 points. He was good. He hits the three. We're up 3-2 on Finley Prep. You and I, we had a lead case.
First lead ever.
Finley Prep. First lead ever. Then it was 21-3.
Oh, yeah. Then they went on a 19-0 run.
It was like a slam.
That wasn't pretty.
The thing that frustrated me a little bit, obviously we had a good time. Finley Prep is very gracious. They're great. They're good people over there. It's like a slam dunk contest. They're having a great time throwing at home on us, really working us, right? It's mm-hmm. like an NBA All-Star game kind of.
Oubre had a really sick alley-oop dunk.
Yeah, it's all good. Then we get a dunk. Mathis throws one home. And he gets a warning because he kind of spiked the ball down a little bit.
He got a warning?
Yeah.
And I wasn't like, even paying
yeah,
attention,
he
I
gets
guess.
A warning. Finley Prep's doing that, and they're celebrating. And it just, you know.
I did not see him get a warning.
Yeah. But I thought we accomplished our task. We got all the kids in the game. Khalil Thompson from Centennial is very good. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Kobe Jackson, the point guard from Clark, I was impressed with. Who else was good?
Morgan from Coronado.
Yes, Austin Morgan from Coronado.
Really good shooter, but also felt like, I mean, physically, obviously, the Finley kid, he's going to be an Ivy League player,
Yale or Columbia,
according to
they say,
Jeff Kaufman.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, they kind of fit those prototypes. The Finley Prep kids are going to, you know, Texas, UNLV, Kansas versus Ivy League kid. Kind of the physicality, they match that. But, man, he was not only is this Morgan kid a great shooter, he's really scrappy, too, and really wasn't afraid to get in there and mix it up despite being, like, half the size of these guys, where I felt like some of our other guys were tentative.
Yeah.
I didn't think like he was.
And I agree with you, and I also thought that some of the guys thought that they were kind of in awe of playing against Finley Prep. Did you feel that at all?
Maybe a little bit later. Did you think the starters even were?
Maybe I got that sense.
I don't know. I didn't get it, but I wouldn't be totally.
Like, yeah, this guy dunked on me, yada, yada, type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I could see that a little bit. But not everyone, by any means.
No, not everyone, but a few. Nonetheless, it was a good time.
It was a good time. And like we said, last year our team was probably a little more stacked. This year I had some unfortunate injuries. And, I mean, really, just last year was a really good year for local high school basketball. I mean, you just named three kids that went to the Pac-12 that were seniors last year. So I felt like our team wasn't as deep. We had, like, no big men. We're asking everyone their position before the game. We had literally one person that said he could play the four or the five.
And that's a problem.
Yeah, O'Bannon.
From Liberty.
Okay. I didn't know where he went to high school.
Yeah.
Like I said, not basketball seniors. But the Liberty kid is the only big man. Last year we had a lot of big men. We had a better team, and I felt like we lost by more. So we'll take it.
We'll take it. And all the kids got to play, which is all we care about.
Yeah, and actually some of the kids that we thought maybe were our weaker links actually played pretty well once they got the chance.
Hit
got
a few
in.
Shots, yeah.
So
we tried.
Good time all around.
I survived an injury.
Yeah. The ball gets batted out of bounds and hits Brewer right below the belt.
Yes.
Down for the count. And the kids that were just meeting to coach, they got a kick out of it at least. So
exactly.
It was some comedic relief.
Exactly. So that's what I'm here for, comedic relief.
All right. Well, obviously that game wasn't great, but there were a lot of really good games in high school football. We talked about Moapa Valley. The game I was at across in a different town altogether, an hour or so away at Canyon Springs, turned out to be as good as advertised. Green Valley, for the third time this year, wins on the last play by virtue of Connor Perkins' leg. They get the ball back with 4 minutes against Canyon Springs in a game where neither defense could do absolutely anything. You kind of felt like Green Valley was going to go down the field and score to win. The question was, are they going to leave enough time for Canyon Springs to score? Well, I think they did a really good job, ran smart offense, short passing game, worked it kind of the right way, got in position for a 40-yard field goal, which is a little bit longer than you probably want, but never in doubt, Perkins knocks it through. There's like 2 seconds left, so Canyon Springs has to kick off, but Green Valley has to kick off to Canyon Springs. They can't do anything with it. Green Valley wins 44-43, and they win the Northeast. I still get confused by the division, but they won the Northeast for the second year in a row. They're the only Northeast champions since realignment.
So back-to-back years, they've beaten Canyon on a last-second field goal.
Perkins specifically, too.
Two things from that game that stood out for me. Crosby's touchdown. Describe it to me, because when I read it in your story, I wanted to laugh. Just picturing this big man. He's big, dude. Like,
he's
six,
fast, though.
Was it ever in question? Did he have to high step it in, or was it
not in question at all? I mean, he turned on the Jets, and he's. I can see why he's getting recruited by like Oregon and stuff. I don't know. I don't follow recruiting as closely, so I don't know the kid's 40 time or whatever. But he's just kind of one of these freak athletes where, no matter how big he is, when he gets a little steam, the kid can run. So. It was really hard to tell. I obviously usually I'm on the sidelines for games, but I'm injured now, so I was sitting watching the game up in the stands, and I couldn't really tell. Basically, Green Valley tried to set up a screen pass. It's probably third down, third and 11, fourth 11. There hasn't been a stop the whole game. There's not a stop the whole game. Neither team punts, but it finally looks like there's going to be a stop here. Canyon Springs knows the screen is coming. They have like three guys over to where Crosby and everyone is polling for the screen. They're about to. I can't remember who it was to now. Lake or someone, they throw the screen pass. I'm like, oh, okay, Canyon's got them. Canyon's just gonna stuff this. Looks like they have Lake wrapped up. Then all of a sudden the ball pops out from where I was sitting. It looked like a lateral. I was like, oh boy, he shouldn't have done that, because I literally thought he lateraled to Crosby because Crosby was just standing behind him.
So
Crosby just takes off, gets past like two of these guys. No one gets a hand on him. He's just loose in the open field, and all of a sudden, I mean, he turns on the Jets, like I said, and he's totally gone. Touchdown from 35 yards out from Crosby. I still was kind of confused. I thought it was a lateral. I was like 90% sure.
Because when you texted me initially, I think you said lateral.
Well, then, it stuck in my mind, as obviously that was a big play at the game. Green Valley was down 10, I think, when it happened. Never down double digits the rest of the game. But I asked Coach Castro afterwards what exactly happened, because there's no way they set that up. There's no way they say in practice, all right, now if you get stuffed, you can lateral back to the lineman. So I'm like, what was going on here? And he's like, oh, well, they ripped out the ball. A.J. Cooper or someone, one of their Raekwon Bascom, one of their great secondary players, ripped out the ball, and it just happened to pop out, and it flew up in the air, so Crosby caught it and ran. So it wasn't a lateral as I initially reported. I guess it was a strip, but still, I mean, didn't make it any less impressive. Yeah. And further leads credence to my theory that Canyon Springs and your athlete theory is not as great as you think this year, because a 280-pound man just outran them all to the end zone.
Well, Crosby's a special athlete. He's going to Oregon. He took his trip to Oregon this past weekend.
Yeah, he was going like the next day, I think.
Yeah, I follow
Good
him on
weekend.
Twitter. He was excited because he found a Chipotle up there, the lone Chipotle.
In Eugene.
So
wow,
he's
the lone. And he was absolutely, out of everyone, I guess him and Perkins are kind of close, or yeah, buddies or whatever. He was going crazy for Perkins, another game-winning kick.
Yeah, I mean, you win the league, you get the number one seed for the playoffs, and now Canyon and Vegas are playing to host a playoff game this week. Losers got to go likely to Coronado, which is a tough cross to bear. Here's the thing that surprised me in your game. Is that I thought Canyon Springs had like this Nebraska blackshirt defense, and they give up 40 plus.
Well, have you seen Nebraska's defense the last 8 years? Well, they've been exactly what this is like. So yeah, that actually fits. Yeah, they've been beating up on all these teams defensively. No one can score on them, and then I don't know what happened. I mean, I wasn't naive enough to know that Green Valley with that offense was a whole different challenge and they were going to score points. Mm-hmm. But I did not think that Canyon Springs was not going to get one stop the entire game. I mean, Green Valley just carved them up. It wasn't even close. But the flip side goes, too. Green Valley.
Was it Lopez carving them up? Because it looked like Norman got some.
Well, Norman had a great game, too. Norman probably had close to 200 yards, like 170. Yeah. When they gave it to Larry Norman, he'd get 8 yards. When they gave it to Lopez, he would either scramble for 10 yards or throw for 10 yards. I mean, their yards per play had to have been close to double digits.
So you were impressed with Green Valley's offense?
As always.
Okay, but Green Valley's defense, a work in progress.
As always.
The construction signs up, and they got to get it fixed ASAP.
Yeah, to be fair, as much as I am kind of talking bad about Canyon Springs defense and saying they were underwhelming, Green Valley was just as bad. I mean, equally bad. They never got a stop either. Zeviante Stevenson, he's had some good games this year, but this had to have been his best. I mean, the kid was just unstoppable. They'd give him the ball. He'd break one tackle. He'd be gone for 15 yards. Bradley Alexander, who the other game I was at this year, kind of struggled to throw the ball, threw the ball really well. It looked like he was kind of having a good night, but I also think that has to do with Green Valley secondary not being that great.
Okay. if Perkins misses his field goal, Canyon's playing for the league title, and we're saying, hey, could Canyon beat Liberty and win the Sunrise?
No, we're could, not. I would not say that.
Okay, could either of these teams beat Liberty, which, by the way, is giving up points at a pretty alarming rate? Antre Johnson went off against them.
They absolutely could, but they're going to be, like, at least two touchdown underdogs.
Okay. Cause
I mean, it's not impossible, but
Tyler Newman, all of a sudden, is Joe Montana. I mean, literally, the kid's thrown for, like, 40 touchdowns this year.
Yeah. I mean, I think Liberty is clearly the best team.
Okay.
And I feel
the
like
the thing I worry about Liberty is Liberty used to be this roll up your sleeves, my big hogs up front, we're going to push you around, we're going to win the line of scrimmage, and we're going to win the region. And now they've got kids at the skill positions that are better than what they had before, and they're slinging it around. And I'm worried that.
Absolutely disagree.
Okay, because you can pass and have a bad night, right?
No, not if you got the the guys that can do it. You can run and have a bad night too.
Okay.
And to me, that didn't change this year. That changed last year. Last year, they weren't the roll up your sleeves and run at you team.
No, they weren't.
Last year, Kainakua became one of the best players in the.
But who did he have as the wide receiver himself? Basically,
what was your point?
There was no wide receiver last year.
They threw the ball a lot last year.
To who? I can't remember even to who.
You want me to go back and look at the stats?
I don't think Liberty is a sure thing layup as they were the past 2 years. Is that safe to say? They might be the leader in the clubhouse.
Here's my thing, which I think what the changes you're seeing them make and what you're talking about, them doing different things, to me, that is a sign of a well-coached team. You're working around your personnel. You're not having all these guys in and say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to line up at the I form and play football like it's 1965.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it's a different Liberty team this year. I think when you pass the ball, you can't control the elements. You could have a bad day.
I think you can have a bad day running too, though.
Can you?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, running for me is always the
same. I
mean,
it's a little higher variance, but not much. What I'm saying is just I like what they've done. Okay. I think it's a testament to kind of the coaching staff when you do different things year by year based on who you have instead of getting stuck into this is what we do and this is how we're going to do it.
Like Arbor.
Well, that's
kind
of – Are
you just calling out
Barnes? No, that's extreme examples. They're great at what they do, and they build an entire program around it.
Okay.
That is not what I'm calling out at all. That was not what I meant.
Let's do this little trick. You and I, we're into odds. We wager every now and then. Give me the future odds to win the Sunrise. Liberty, GVHS, the Kitty Cats, and Canyon.
Liberty, GV. Who's the Kitty Cats?
Vegas.
Okay, I was thinking Coronado.
No.
Coronado's in the same group with Canyon and Vegas, I would say. And Green Valley. They beat Green Valley. They lost to Canyon in overtime.
Throw Coronado in there. Go ahead.
They're right in there. How can they not be? I mean, Liberty's got to be minus 200.
That's it?
At least.
Okay.
I was trying to be conservative. I don't think they're minus 500.
Okay.
They're 200 to 500, somewhere in that range,
200.
Right?
I'd say 300. Liberty minus 300.
That's fair.
Vegas plus 150.
If you were going to give Vegas lower odds than Green Valley, you are insane. Even if you think they're better, Green Valley's going to have the path laid out for them better because they have the one seed.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with you.
If you're giving them 300 also, by the way, we got to go GV 2-1. I think GV plus 200. I actually think Canyon and Vegas should be about the same. We haven't seen them play yet. We don't know who's going to get
the
two.
It's
about
the toss.
Yeah, but I mean, as of right now, I think that they both got to be about.
I mean, you got to realize that the Vegas was, you know, arguably the better team when they played Green Valley.
Oh, no, I understand that. But the result of it is Green Valley gets two home games before they have to play Liberty. Vegas, no matter what, is going to have to play Liberty sooner, right? Well, not if they get the three, I guess. But still, they have a tougher road. There's no doubt they have a tougher road.
Everybody has a tougher road than Green Valley.
Yeah, so Green Valley is plus 200.
Okay, let me tell you this, though. Green Valley is the one seed, no matter what.
Yeah.
Happens against
That's why
Silverado.
They have lower odds.
Okay. Who do they play first in the playoff, more than likely?
That would be Basic.
Basic. You were at the first
that
Basic
is a tough
Green
game.
Valley. Right?
Yeah.
Should Green Valley be worried about Basic in the playoffs?
A little bit.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, so who then? Canyon and Vegas winner will have Foothill
at home. Loser is at Coronado.
Yeah. The
if everything goes according
that's
to plan,
a tough game.
Whoever I mean, it's a good play playoffs, Coronado. Right?
So I would have Vegas and Canyon at +350, and I would probably
No. If Vegas beats Canyon, the winner of Vegas Canyon has got to have better odds because if you got to go to Coronado, you're
we're
in.
We're talking right now. You wanted me to set odds on it today.
Oh, okay, okay.
I mean, what do you go over to the sports book and bet? Or you're going to go bet on the
I was just assuming
Cardinals,
Vegas
Red Sox, well, who
gonna,
wins the next game?
I was assuming Vegas was going to beat Canyon.
Well, that's a bad assumption because Canyon's beat them 2 years in a row, haven't they?
They probably have. This yeah. Vegas team's good. I love Vegas. I'm sorry. Okay.
I think they're even. I think this game's okay. A toss-up this week.
Okay. Let me ask you this question since you're the Green Valley expert now. Silverado at Green Valley this week.
Tough game.
Tough game. Silverado's good. Win or lose, Green Valley is still the one seed, still the Northeast champion. They maybe fall a little bit in our poll. Do you think Green Valley rests some players so they don't get injuries? Or do you think they go give it a full four quarters to get ready for the playoffs?
I don't know.
It's
about,
like that. Go ahead.
I don't know about the full four quarters, but I don't think they're resting anyone from the start of the game. I mean, I think they'll play at least a half, three quarters, see how they're doing. And if it's a close game, which I think it actually could potentially be, I don't think they're going to sit them.
Well, yeah, it will be a close game because Silverado is going to control the clock a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just curious. Initially when I picked this game, and we'll get to our picks later, I picked Silverado to beat Green Valley because of the whole Green Valley doesn't need to win this game.
Looks like you flip-flopped on that.
I did. I went back before I sent it to you, and I erased it, and I went to Green Valley.
Because you got this 13-game lead to protect. You can't stick out your neck just once.
No. I talked myself out of it.
That was probably smart. So Silverado is going to see Liberty in the first round regardless, right?
Correct.
Another rivalry game early on, but Liberty took care of Silverado pretty easily this year.
Was it easily? I can't remember. I thought it was
35-8.
Oh, 35-8. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe it was close for a while, but
the playoffs are going to be a fun time.
And we start the playoffs this weekend, actually, with the Division 1A. The remaining questions got answered on last Thursday night. Mojave with a big win over Pahrump Valley. To get that two, right, to kind of save us from having the confusion of who gets the two. So Mojave is going to host a home playoff game with Virgin Valley, which I think if you're looking at one game for the Division 1A playoffs, that's probably the game of the week. Virgin Valley's really good. They kind of got unfortunate that Desert Pines and Moapa are both in their division, and one of those have to be the three seeds. Mojave's no slouch either. I mean, we say his name every week, and it feels bad we can't mention some other kids, but Flanagan has like 300 yards every week. He's a stud. Virgin Valley has a D Bowler and some guys of their own. That's going to be a fun one.
And I know just from being around Moapa and DP Friday night that both coaching staffs peak real high of Virgin Valley. And I think that this game might not be as even as you think. I think Virgin Valley might be able to pass on Mojave. Mojave doesn't do well defending the pass. I think Virgin actually wins this one easily.
I think Virgin's going to win too, but okay. Now I'm probably going to have to pick Mojave because you did, and we're going to have all the same picks this week.
Well, I mean, you go ahead and pick whoever you want, but all I'm saying is that I think Virgin is the best three seed that we're going to see this year in the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely.
They've got an opportunity to do something special. And then speaking of special – shout out to those kids at Clark. Not only did they beat Cheyenne to get in the playoffs, they're the number three seed. First time this century they're in the postseason. When Don Willis became the coach, they were in the middle of that five-year, 40-plus game losing streak. They're in. They're playing an extra game. They're pretty excited. And I tell you what, Don Willis is a good football man. You know, a lot of people would have left when they lose, and he hung it out, and he's rewarded with a playoff game. Too bad it's at Desert Pines.
Who knows? Maybe they could give Desert Pine some competition.
I would be shocked.
You don't think so?
No. Happy to be there. This is seasons of success, win, lose, or draw.
They usually play, right? They did not play earlier this season.
They did not.
Last year, Desert Pines beat them 34-8.
And congratulations to those kids, man. I'm telling you right now. I showed you that picture of the Clark kid. Did I show you that picture?
You did not. You'll have to show me after the podcast.
I'll show you after the podcast. But there's a kid that I know that's on.
Oh, the one from your church?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you showed me that.
Little kid starts on the line.
You showed me that.
Yeah, so congratulations to those guys. Do you want to do the picks, or do you want to talk about the sunset real fast?
Well, we've touched on everything else, so might as well jump on the sunset real
sunset.
Quick.
Sunset, okay. Legacy, Palo and Arbor won big, which is always going to happen because the Northwest is like the Mountain West, right? Palo is Fresno State, Arbor is Boise State, or either way, and then the rest of the league is UNLV, Hawaii, New Mexico, right? Durango is New Mexico, right? Shadow Ridge is UNLV, right?
I guess I can see it.
Sierra Vista is Hawaii.
I don't know why you're picking which for which, but okay. I get your overall larger point.
So,
two really good teams and a mixture of
not so good to hoping to get to be average teams.
Hoping to
make
get in
the playoffs.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. I always liked Arbor and Palo. I thought that those two would, you know, each make playoff, obviously, make it to the semis. And I always thought that Palo could give Gorman a little bit of a run. You know, they're throwing the ball around. They've got some good players up front, a lot of experience. But I just don't think Palo's getting good, or Arbor for that matter, by playing Hawaii, New Mexico, and UNLV. Do you see where I'm coming from?
A little bit, but at the same time, I mean, Legacy gave Gorman their closest game in 5 years this year.
Yeah, but Legacy's in the good league. They're in the Pac-12.
Yeah, but they hadn't played any of those teams before they played Gorman, right? That was, I think Gorman was their first quote-unquote Pac-12 game.
No, they beat Arbor and
okay,
they beat
so they
Palo.
Played one of
or
those
they
games.
Beat Arbor and they lost
to
Palo, and they played Hurricane.
Hurricane.
And did
right.
good against Hurricane.
I don't necessarily I can see where you're coming from, but I don't
Do you think Legacy
– I mean, look, before these teams play Gorman, let's say Palo is – I don't know who's going to be the 1 and 2. Just for argument's sake,
they
we'll
play
say,
at the end of
yeah,
the
Yeah, they
year.
Play at the end
yeah.
of the year. Let's say Palo's the 2, so they play Gorman in the first round of the playoffs – or the second round of the playoffs. They would have to beat – they'd have to have played Arborview 2 weeks before, and then the next week they would have to play – who's
the 3, Shadow.
Okay. Well, I just – talent to me trumps these – crazy theories that I don't think that means that much.
Okay. It's kind of like Desert Pines. Desert Pines looked like world beaters. They put up a lot of points, but they were doing it against Sunrise Mountain, Chaparral, blah, blah, blah. Now, all of a sudden, they roll off the bus to play Moapa. I'm there. They look great in warm-ups. They're ready to play. They're fired up. They're barking. My guys are good, the athletes. And then Moapa Valley does something that they'd never seen, a few onside kicks, and next thing you know, they hadn't played from behind all year because they'd been beaten up on Sacramento State. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but now I kind of feel like you're bringing up a different argument, that they're not a team fitted to come from behind. I feel like that's a different argument than they're not tested
okay.
enough.
Well, they came from behind to beat my Chaparral Cowboys.
Yeah, that's right. That's
which,
true.
Which lost to Boulder City for the last playoff spot. Alex Kazel relayed a message to me on Saturday basically saying, ha, what happened to your Cowboys?
Wow. That's
good.
You could probably return it. Who are they playing in the first round?
Faith.
Yeah, I think Faith is going to probably
take
care
of
them.
Let me ask you this question. Who's rooting for Faith Lutheran the most on Friday night against Boulder City?
Who's rooting for him the most?
The most.
I have no idea where you're at. Moapa
Valley. Moapa Valley.
They want to play them?
Their coaching staff is likely wearing Boulder City. I'm sorry, I worded it wrong. Who's rooting for Boulder City?
Oh, Boulder City. Oh, yeah. I got you. Yeah, yeah,
Moapa.
For sure. You said Faith.
They're wearing Boulder City shirts the whole week. Because if Boulder beats Faith, then Moapa's the 1, and they won't have to travel up north to the state semifinals. If Faith and Moapa went out to go to the semis, Moapa's got to go up there for the semis, and then they got to go back the next week for the state championship. And then the Moapa Valley is going to win state isn't going to happen because you can't go back-to-back weeks to play Fallon and Fernley and expect to win. So they need – somebody's got to beat Faith, either Boulder this week or Virgin next week for Moawpa to win state.
So they could root for Virgin or Mojave too. I know you think Mojave has no chance, but in theory, they could root for one of those two too.
They would. My closest guess would be they would want Virgin to try to beat Faith instead of Mojave.
Right.
In my humble opinion.
Well, no, but for their purposes, any of them work the same.
Any of them who beat Faith would work
exactly.
The same.
Makes sense to me. I think you're right that they'd love to see Virgin do well. Even
anybody
though they're better
but
rivals.
Faith. Yeah. Anybody but Faith.
Right.
On to the picks.
Let's go.
Canyon at Vegas. Game of the week. Winner gets second in the Northeast in a home playoff game and avoids a Coronado team that we both respect. Who do you got, Case Kiefer?
This is a tough one because this is the game I've been looking forward to all year. I said I think these teams are evenly matched. They do different things well. It's really hard after seeing Canyon just defense, which was their strong point, just implode last week. I think maybe, though, they get that firmed up a little bit. They've beaten Las Vegas 2 years in a row, as I said, including last year by like 3 touchdowns, I think. I'm going to go Canyon, but I don't feel good about it.
Okay.
I think it's close enough that
okay.
Can lean that way.
What's the name of the Canyon tailback?
Xaviante Stevenson.
He's going to meet my man Jacob Littlefield this week. The Kitty Cats, baby. You know I can't pick against Canyon.
Yeah, I know we're setting up. You can't pick against Vegas.
I can't pick against Vegas.
I know we're already setting up for Vegas and Liberty meeting in the playoffs and you picking Vegas again.
I can't wait. Vegas rocks the house. Oh, man. When they see me coming in, I think they think that I'm a jinx. It's like, oh, great, Brewer's here. We're going to lose.
Why? Have you covered a lot of their losses?
There's a minor joke that when Brewer's here, they don't do well.
Vegas?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you're going to this game then.
I am.
Because I'm picking Cannon Springs. All right.
Centennial at Gorman. Last year, that was a fun time, remember? Centennial gave him a little bit of a scare.
I mean, didn't they lose by like 40 or something?
No, the first time they played, I think they only lost by 20.
Okay, I think. Right? Okay, I was thinking the playoff meeting.
Yeah, it won't happen this year. Gorman 59, Centennial 10. Centennial will punt in their favor.
Yeah, last year, I do remember the game you're talking about now.
The initial meeting at Centennial, right?
Yeah, I think it was like
Solomon had
49 to 21 or something.
Solomon had that hop over the defender thing that was real cool.
Oh, yeah, but isn't that illegal?
It was illegal. Captured on YouTube, though, so
okay.
Now we can watch it every day.
Right. Gorman's going to win this one by, I think they won. I think they still won by 4 touchdowns or something last year, and it'll be more this year.
Yeah. Liberty at Foothill. I could see Tyler Newman and Drew Dockstader getting in a shootout, and I could see 100-plus points being scored. But I think Liberty changes pace a little bit. They try to pound the rock, run some clock. I got Liberty, thanks to its ground attack, 31, Foothill 23.
It's driving me crazy how much you want these teams to go back to being running teams.
I'm
what you're good at.
I'm encouraging it.
Do what you're good at.
Hey, listen, Calvin Tubbs had like a hundo last week and 2 TDs. I think Liberty is getting back to getting more balance. It's not what you're good at, which is throwing. It's you gotta have a little balance, baby. And maybe now that Newman's throwing for 9 touchdowns a week, maybe the ground game is opening up a little bit. It's all about matchups, Case.
How about, I think a big thing with Liberty that we never talk about are for Newman to be doing what he's doing, he's got to have some great receivers. And they have guys every week that deliver.
Noah Jefferson's been playing tight end and catching a lot of balls.
Yeah, Noah Jefferson, this kid, I'm going to pull a Brewer and just mangle his name, but I think it's DeShawn McQuaig, has 9 touchdowns. Drew Haladic. Big-time receiver, and Bradley Valoria. All those guys have, like, more than 500 yards on the year. I think I think they got to get some credit for what's going on over there. And I think they're going to win this game big. And I hope that they throw it all over the field. I want to see Tyler Newman throw for 300-plus yards so I don't have to listen about establishing the run and playing a balance if you don't need
to
anymore.
I think Foothill wants Tyler Newman to try to throw for 300-and-some yards.
I want to keep talking because I want the Liberty coaching staff to listen to this.
No, I just think that for Liberty to accomplish their goal, for Liberty to have to make a phone call to Jostens to hang a banner They have to run the rock. You can't throw it 50 times a game.
If you're good at it, of course you can.
The Houston Oilers, the run and shoot, Warren Moon. Why couldn't they win?
That was the 80s. We're in a new age of football. If you're going to use the NFL as an example, when's the last time a Super Bowl team had a great running back? Never. You don't have to run the ball anymore.
Ray Rice wasn't a great running back?
Did you watch the playoffs last year? Joe Flacco completed 70% of his passes. They had 11 touchdowns and no interceptions. So, they never ran the ball. They didn't run the ball at all.
So now you have to, here's the deal.
If you have, and this is high school, so it's different, but if you have a guy that can sling the ball around that complete 70% of his passes like Newman is, you don't have to establish the run anymore.
Coaches that listen, and I know a lot of them do, let us know. Text me, email Case and I, whatever, get a hold of us. Is the run game not important anymore? Because we talked last week.
Your saving grace is it is more important in high schools, but that's because a lot of teams don't have someone that can throw the ball. Liberty does.
But we talked last week about how quarterbacks aren't under center anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a new era, Case.
It's a new era.
You're part of the revolution. You're ahead of the curve. I'm stuck back in 2000.
Well, I mean, it's a little different because it's high schools, but I still think it's different because a lot of teams don't have someone that can throw the ball. Liberty has someone that can throw the ball. Throw it all over them.
Okay. All right. Silverado at Green Valley. Initially, Brewer picked Silverado knowing that Green Valley really doesn't have to win. And also thinking, and this is totally wrong of me, and I know Castor's not like this and he's not thinking this, but he thinks, okay, well, maybe if Silverado beats us and Vegas beats Canyon, then Canyon's the four, and then Canyon gets a first shot at Liberty. Who's got a better chance to knock off Liberty? Do you see where I'm coming from? Canyon loses to Vegas. Silverado beats Green Valley. So Canyon and Silverado are tied. So maybe Canyon falls all the way to the four, and they got to open the postseason at Liberty, which gives Liberty a tough matchup. And Green Valley, who could beat everybody hypothetically except for Liberty, supposedly, now all of a sudden Liberty's got to go through all these tough dominoes before they get to Green Valley.
I like your thinking, but I got to tell
you. Is that a conspiracy
theory? This is going to be the first time if Castro listens to this or if someone tells him about this. This is going to be the first time this has ever even crossed his mind. There's no way he thought about that.
Well, there's a good idea for I'm trying to help them get to Justin's.
I think they're going to try to win, and I think rightfully so. But I'm with you that I think it could be a little close.
Do you see my logic in that?
I see your logic.
Silverado wants to avoid Liberty.
There's no way that's going to happen.
Okay. All right. So who are you picking?
I'm picking Green Valley.
Gators all day. Okay. Virgin at Motown. Listen, I haven't seen Virgin play. I know they beat Faith in overtime, and Faith hasn't lost since. I know they had a great effort against Moapa, and I know they were robbed, arguably, against Desert Pines. And I know the people I talked to speak highly of them. I know Mojave struggles defending the pass. It's that simple. I said it before. I like the Virgin Valley Bulldogs.
You've got them by 18.
I got them by 18.
What do you make the line on this game? Can this be the...
I will. 11. 11 and a half. Virgin 11 and a half.
11 and a half.
You get Mojave, the higher seed at home that doesn't have to travel with Ty Flanagan, a D1 kid. Plus 11.5.
How about 12.5?
12.5 I'll do.
All right, I'll take Mojave plus 12.5. I wanted to negotiate that extra point.
Okay.
Is that the play of the week?
Play of the week.
All right, it's tough for me because I honestly kind of think Virgin's going to win this game, but...
As long as they don't cover.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like people are counting Mojave out too, so what the heck? I'm going to go Mojave in an upset. But I do think it's an upset. I think Virgin's a better team. I think you're on the right track. Okay. I think they're going to have trouble with the pass. But who knows? I mean, Mojave's got some kids. Maybe get a couple turnovers and pull off an upset.
Anything can happen at that level. I agree with you. Okay, Chi-Town at Moapa. It's the playoff matchup everyone wanted to see last year. Cheyenne, despite losing by 20-plus to Clark, sneaks in as the fourth seed. Poor Pahrump, they were playing Motown to be the two. They don't even make the playoffs. So now Cheyenne's got to go up and face the music against Moapa Valley. Seems like a no-brainer, right?
I think it is a no-brainer. Okay. I think Moapa's got this one. locked up.
All right. Clark at Desert Pines, two schools that will likely that played last winter for state hoops that will likely play again for the state championship in 2014. DP one loss last weekend against Moapa Valley. Clark simply happy to be there. This one's obvious to Desert Pines.
DP won the hoops title last year, beating them, right?
They did.
And we were kind of controversial because all year we said DP was going to beat them. And a lot of people thought Clark was the better team.
And Clark was the better team until the final 4 minutes, and DP just erased a double-digit deficit.
Right. Do they play any other time of the year? Is that the only meeting?
In football or basketball?
In basketball.
I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the football pick.
I haven't looked at the schedule yet,
but I know that – they'll likely be playing at 8 o'clock Saturday night, the last Saturday in February, at Lawler Event Center in the best city in the world, Reno.
Clark is probably the favorite this year in basketball, right?
I mean,
they have Deontay Jones, Sharon Wright.
Kobe
Jackson.
Love Kobe Jackson.
Yeah, okay, so Clark's probably the favorite. That's good that they're going to get their win there. Because I don't think it's going to happen here. I got Desert Pines. I want to give a shout-out to some of these Clark kids that keyed the...
Okay, go ahead.
We got Kareem Warren, had a big passing rushing day.
Big game by Kareem.
Tyreek, I don't know if it's Tyreek or Tyreek Wells, leading rusher. Marquise Stewart.
And Wells was the backup because the one got hurt. So shout-out to him for coming in.
Right. Clifton Smith. I mean, a lot of their skill guys had big games to beat up on Cheyenne, so I just wanted to throw that out
there.
Yeah,
would have loved to have been in that locker room afterwards.
Yeah, big nothing but praise for Clark getting to the playoffs after all these years, but I'm going to pick Desert Pines.
What a crazy, crazy year it's been. My Pittsburgh Pirates make the playoffs. UNLV football beats Reno, and Clark High makes the playoffs.
Yeah, that is nuts. What would you make the line in this game, out of curiosity?
Clark big. I mean, DP big, 20+.
I think Clark's going to keep it a little close.
Do you? Well, in Clark's defense, they only lost to Mojave by 5, 19-14.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about, give me 24.5?
That's way too much.
24.
The highest I go is 19.5.
No way. I can't do that. I'd have to get over the 20. I think Clark keeps it close, though. All right, okay. Next game is...
Sunset champ Faith, which hasn't lost in 8 games. I got that wrong on the sheet. It's at Faith, not at Boulder.
Right. That would be kind of strange if the 4 seed got the home game. But Boulder City at Faith Lutheran.
And I think
correct.
They played earlier this year, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right. I think it was pretty early. Faith Lutheran. Obviously, one. I mean, the only games Faith Lutheran lost all year is Virgin Valley in overtime.
And the team from Colorado.
Yeah, and the team from Colorado beat them up pretty good. At Boulder City, they won 31-19.
So it was a close game.
Pretty close.
Yeah. I think Boulder City is, if it does what it does, kind of controls the clock a little bit. I think they could keep it close. With that said, I really just think Faith Lutheran is having one of those seasons where it's going to continue another week. I'll take the Crusaders.
Yeah, here's the thing. I think the Crusaders have gotten a little bit better since the first time they played the Eagles. So I got to agree with you. I think they're going to win by a little bit more this time around.
All righty. Cimarron, which was shut out last week, surprisingly, by Centennial, is at Legacy, which is controls its own destiny for the 2 seed in the Southwest. I got Legacy.
Legacy's great. Really, really good team this year. Excited to see what they do the rest of the year. I got Legacy, too.
All right. Arborview at Sierra Vista. Coach Foss hosting his former team. Arborview 47, Sierra Vista 14.
Arborview's already really pumped up for this game.
Are they?
I've been told. Yeah, go play their former coach.
Okay, but they're still on speaking terms, right?
Yeah, I think. Okay. I don't know why. I'm just relaying the message of what I was told, that this is like a big week for them, getting to go play an old coach. There, right, so well. I don't think that bodes well for
the old coach
Vista.
Isn't coaching the Steelers. I mean, this is Sierra Vista.
Hey, I'm just
okay.
This isn't my opinion. This is what I've been told from highly placed officials at Arborview.
Okay, you got your sources. Okay, Spring at Shadow, Spring Valley at Shadow Ridge.
Go ahead. I don't know what to do with this one.
I guess Shadow Ridge. Spring Valley coming off a victory against Durango. where they had some good defensive plays, block punt, and a pick six, right?
Yeah, that's probably the right side. I was thinking about the upset, but I probably got to go Shadow Ridge.
Alrighty. Here's a game to give you something to think about. Coronado at Basic. Basic, of course, lost late to Foothill. Coronado won late at Foothill. Basic, Johnson went off against Liberty. Coronado hung in there against Liberty. My head tells me that Coronado's going to win this game, and I pick them 32-30. But that score says that Basic keeps it close.
Oh, yeah. Basic should definitely keep this close. I would be tempted to pick Basic, too. But I think, as we said all year, that Coronado is going to get better and better. I think that's kind of happened. They've gotten a lot of kids' experience now. I think there's a lot of kids that are ready to step in. I think they're – I just think they're better than they were a few weeks ago. And I think they've got more depth maybe, or more guys that can make plays than Basic. So I'm going to go with the Cougars. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's close, like you said.
All righty. Durango at Palo. Quick fact for you, Case. I know you're into numbers. Palo surrendered just 3 points in the last 10 quarters. Back-to-back shutouts. I'm saying they're doing it a third straight week, 42-0.
No, that was probably the highlight of my high school football career. We went four straight games, four straight shutouts.
Really?
Yeah.
Quality opponents or?
Two of them pretty quality. And we got to shave our defensive coordinator's head.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for doing for the four straight shutouts. So that was
senior year? Or?
That was my senior year, yeah. Wow. So that was a
– You played D
– My senior year I played defensive tackle.
Yeah. Were you a tackle machine or were you a sack machine? Were you a middle clogger?
I had quite a few sacks. At the end of my junior year, I got moved to linebacker. So that's why I had to think about it for a second. Then I got moved back to defensive tackle my senior year. Obviously, it was good because we got all those shutouts in a row, just like Palo Verde's doing. And, they could do it again. It's very possible.
All righty. D.O. at Bonanza. Both teams, this is an elimination game. Two games left in the Sunset. I got D.O. winning.
What? Should this
no
be close?
Reason why.
I mean, God, this is tough, too.
D.O. arguably is taking a few steps back since it's
good beginning start. Of the year.
Yeah.
Bonanza rested some of their better players last week.
Taylor didn't play against Gorman, knowing that they had to win out to make the postseason.
I picked it. I'm literally, I don't think I'm exaggerating, like 2-6 on Desert Oasis games this year. So why not make it 2-7? I'm going to go with the upset and Bonanza. Why not?
All right. Last two games, four teams ending their season. Del Sol, winless, at El Dorado, whose lone victory was against Sunrise Mountain.
I can't wait to hear what you're doing with this one.
Well, Del Sol actually has been
better the last few weeks, right?
They're getting better. They went to the double wing, and I think they win 19-15 to grab some momentum, but this game could go either way.
I think this is something I've noticed that I really don't understand. I don't know if you even notice it either, but Del Sol, like the last 4 weeks, you've picked really low-scoring games. What's going on?
I don't know.
It's always like 19-14 or 22-7, or it's usually more like 40-something-8.
Maybe I think that Del Sol can't score.
That's probably it. I guess I'll go with El Dorado. I think looking into the season, they had more. Del Sol maybe has improved more, but El Dorado's probably was the better team if you look at the course of the entire season, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So I'll go El Dog.
Later this week on LasVegasSun.com, I'll write about realignment and how it should be done by sport. No reason Del Sol, El Dorado, and Valley and Rancho should be competing in this high level. It's quite frankly not safe. Valley at Rancho. Last game of the season for both teams. Last game that we pick here.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you about the lower division, and I also think we're going to be in agreement here saying Valley's going to win this one. Big.
I agree.
All right, well, thanks for listening to another week of Prep Sports Now. We'll be back next week to talk some more playoffs and the final week of the Sunset Region. For Ray, I'm Case. Talk to you later.